I'd like to read, first of all, tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Just verse 9. But you may know the story of this young man, Samuel, being awakened from his sleep and going to ask his aged mentor what he wanted. But Eli hadn't called him, and that is repeated until finally verse 9, Samuel has come to Eli again, and Eli perceives that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his bed, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times. Now in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 49. Jesus stood still and commanded him, now that is blind Bartimaeus, to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. One of my childhood memories at Christmas time every year was gathering in my aunt and uncle's home. I can still see my mother sitting by the big old radio, and my uncle was there, but I don't remember him for this. My aunt was there, and they would turn the radio on at the right time, and a kind of a crackly voice came over the radio. This is Queen Elizabeth speaking, and then she would have a few remarks to make, and she would say, My husband, Prince Philip, and I wish all our citizens a Merry Christmas. And I could not understand why my mother's eyes were dripping and my aunt's eyes likewise, it was the Queen. And the sound of her voice just meant so much to them. There is a greater than the Queen who is speaking to men and women. It is an amazing thing that God speaks personally to people. And we have read of God's personal call to men and women. I want you to think with me, first of all, of an earnest call unheeded. Reading what we have read in Proverbs chapter 1 gives us just a little picture of the past of many that are in the meeting tonight. And it is a past of God's untiring call. You read there the voice of wisdom, and she's crying in the streets, and she's crying in the chief places of concourse. No matter where there are people, the call is being heard. And it's all interpreted in verses that follow, because I have called, God calling to men in a universal way. They hear the voice of God in the marketplace. They hear the voice of God in the quiet of their home. They hear the voice of God in the circumstances of a busy life. And the voice of God touches. I like to think of what is described in the days of Elijah, the still, small voice. Where did that thought come from? Why did I remember that verse from the Bible? I haven't thought of that for years. Why does that particular expression that they use bother me so much? I have heard them say hell 1,000 times today, it seems. Why does that touch me now? I have called. And you stand by a casket. And suddenly thoughts begin to roll through your mind. I remember when I was 16 years of age. There was a doctor that we went to. I heard the news that his mother-in-law died. Never met her. I remember that. It just registered. There was an older lady, the mother of two people that were in the assembly where my parents were. She had had cancer, and after a long period of time, she died, but those two deaths came fairly close together. Two older ladies. How many times had I heard something like that? You know what I began to think? And there's nothing to this, but this is what I began to think. Two people have died. And they say death visits three at a time. What if I were the third? I was 16. I was healthy. But God spoke to me. And God speaks in the circumstances of life. God uses frustrations in life. I'm not saying that God sends the frustration. God allows a sinner's choice to bring him into frustration. A prodigal son turns far from his father. The father didn't send the famine, but the choice to turn from the father will inevitably lead to famine. And there are young people in the meeting tonight, and you have no idea that to continue on your present course is to go into the face of the famine. God allows the famine. And in the famine he speaks, there's got to be something more than this to life. There has got to be something worth living for. God speaks internally. Ye would none of my reproof. You know what that word means? That is a word of conviction. that the voice of God begins to bring conviction into the mind. And there are things you may have done dozens of times with not a thought. And suddenly, you begin to reflect on it and to realize how totally wrong it is. Words that fly from your lips, and you have never given them a thought. And suddenly it dawns on you the filthiness of what seems to just flow from your heart. And the voice of conscience, the voice of God, begins to reprove you. Sin in all its stark reality. How am I going to meet God? Several years ago, I was in the city of Sault Ste. Marie, visiting in a home with a man that had come over from Ireland, a man and his wife that had come over from Ireland, but she had been saved through Sunday school work over there. She had married him. He was not saved, and he came over to Ontario for work, and she wanted to get her children now that had come along out to Sunday school. She got them to the gospel hall, and they were interested, and then the mother became interested. She became part of the assembly there, and they were praying for Willie, got saved. And Willie was not interested. She would have the preachers over for dinner, and he was singularly unimpressed with the preachers, didn't appreciate their interest. And he went out to a meeting just to keep peace in the family, and one night the preacher preached on the great white throne judgment, and he was unimpressed with the preaching. He worked at the Algoma steel mills in the part of the plant that makes the forms, the plywood, the wood forms for the moldings, casting molds. And one of the fellows said, Willie, I'm going to take this plywood home. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm going to take this plywood home tonight, but I can't get it into my car. Will you put it in your car? Well, he wouldn't have done it for himself, but he couldn't say no to the fellow. Stopped at the gate, opened the trunk. There was the plywood. Willie's job was on the line. Called into the boss. And he stood in the waiting room to go in to see the boss, and his knees began to tremble. His job was on the line. His family's well-being. And he thought, if I'm this afraid to meet my boss, what am I going to do when I have to meet Mr. Granger's God? It was Mr. Granger that preached on the great white throne. The living seed of the Word of God had been planted, and suddenly it came thundering into his mind. This is just one thing with a man. What will I do when I have to stand before God? My reproof. It's a wonderful thing when you read through Proverbs chapter 1, because God's call is seasonal. It comes, and it comes again. And it comes again. And there are souls in the meeting tonight. And it's not always series of gospel meetings. There might be a series of gospel meetings in the spring. And there might be a series of gospel meetings in the fall. And God may speak in the spring, but He doesn't speak in the fall. And God may speak one year, and another year, and another year, and He may not speak the next year. And He comes back to speak once more again. And there are souls in the meeting tonight, and God has spoken to you kindly, untiringly. God has spoken to your soul. Let me move with you to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and tell you, not now about the past, God's untiring call, but let me speak to you just for a moment about the present. And I want to remind you of the prospect. Listen to these words. I wish that God would impress them on all our hearts. Samuel, go lie down. And if
he call thee? If he call thee.
Samuel, it is not certain that God is going to call you. But if he calls you, Samuel, answer. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And I think if that boy understood the gravity of what was happening, he lay in his bed, but he didn't go back to sleep. And his ears were just alive to hear. Is it possible that God will call me again? He has called me, and I missed his call. I didn't recognize it was God's call. He has called me again, and I didn't recognize it once, twice, three times. You have not been called by the preacher. You have been called by God. The voice that you have heard has not been something to explain naturally. It is the supernatural voice of God speaking to your heart. And as you sit in the gospel meeting tonight, underlying this one two-letter word, if he called thee, because he may not. And if he calls thee, whatever you do, respond to his voice. Don't miss the moment. Here is Samuel being pressed to recognize this is God's voice. You know what the remarkable thing is? God did call. Did you notice the way? No, we didn't read it. The way he called the other time, Samuel. Samuel. Samuel, the third time, he's calling for the last time, and he says, Samuel, Samuel. God repeats his cry. There's an urgency in the heart of God. This is the moment. Samuel, there's a message from God for you. Samuel, Samuel. And I would like to speak tonight as a man possessed with the reality that if God is speaking, it may be for the last time. I walked into a hospital room years ago now, and Bill lay in his hospital bed. It wasn't a serious procedure he'd had. I was with another Christian. We read eventually, a nice visit together, we read eventually with Bill and reminded him about his need of salvation. And he said something in the concluding moments of that visit that reminded me of what I'd heard him say so often before. Bill, are you thinking about salvation? Yes. Bill, when are you going to get this taken care of? He's an old man now. He's listened to the gospel all his life. His answer? Someday. I had stood on the sidewalk outside the gospel hall and I had spoken to him. And when are you going to get this taken care of, Bill? Someday. So we tried to answer to tell him, Bill, this can't be someday. It's got to come down to today. But it was Saturday night. He was in the hospital. He was going home the next day. He said goodnight. And someday came exploding into my mind the next morning when I heard the news, Bill's gone. And I didn't know that I was part of a two-man team that was God's last voice to Bill. If he called thee. But you see, what we have in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, tells us about the present. And I want you to see that this is an unparalleled moment for this man, blind Bartimaeus. He's got nothing. He's blind, beggar. The greatest moment of his life is now. And I don't know
from what point in life you have come. But I want to tell you tonight, this is the greatest moment of your life. It has nothing to do with two men. It really has nothing to do with the people that are here that have been deeply concerned and praying about these gospel meetings. It has to do with this. Listen to the words they convey to this blind beggar, sitting with his rags binding him, crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Keep quiet. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the moment of opportunity. I cannot miss this moment."
Be of good comfort, Bartimaeus. Rise.
He calleth thee. And there's a Savior that is calling to souls in this gospel meeting tonight. You may be in one of your first gospel meetings, but will you understand that gospel meetings are not about men trying to get out their ideas? Gospel meetings are not about men running a performance. That's one reason I don't even like the word audience. We are not performing. We are seeking to convey a message from the heart of God to the hearts of men and women that are in the gathering this evening. And God has a deep interest in your soul. He longs to see you saved from your sin, preserved from going down to eternal night and judgment. And God is calling to you tonight. Be of good comfort. Rise. The eyes of heaven are upon you. God is calling. What a moment. Poor old fellow, what difference does his old rag coat make? Off it goes. Cast away his garment. There's nothing worth having when the Lord Jesus is calling. And I don't know what might slow your progress down, but I can tell you tonight, there is nothing worth having if the Savior's calling you. Don't let anything hinder you from responding to this. He calleth thee. He cast away his garment. And he rose. And he came to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says to him, "Here's a blank check. Fill it in. What would you like? What walked out without you doing this?" Now let me just stop tonight and ask you. If heaven handed you a blank check, what would you fill in? I don't bother talking about billions. It's not worth it. There's something you need more than billions of dollars. Well, I would like to be saved someday. Oh no. Let's get right down to the specifics. Would to God there were some soul in this gospel meeting crying out for this in the presence of God. Oh God, is it possible to know my sin is forgiven? Is it possible to know that I'll never come into judgment for my sins? What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? God grant there may be some soul in the meeting tonight crying out not for an experience, not for feelings, but for forgiveness of sins. Because I want you to know the Savior that's calling you can forgive your sins tonight. By virtue of His precious blood that was shed at Calvary, He is able to forgive every sinner, every sin. And if you left this meeting tonight knowing this, that Christ who died at Calvary paid the great debt of my sin, you would leave this meeting knowing this. My sin is forgiven. God is satisfied. There's nothing remains to be done. No fear of coming judgment. It's all settled. I feel like shouting, "Hallelujah!" Thank God. I look at Calvary, and I take in the glorious truth. It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love. Why would He love me? Oh, wondrous love. I'll shout and sing. He died for me. my Lord and King. My sins are gone because he died for my sins at Calvary. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Just let me close by taking you back to Proverbs chapter 1. The earnest call of God unheeded. Then shall they call, and I will not answer. The endless call of the sinner unanswered. I cannot tell you how far you are from that moment. I can tell you it could be only one step. From that moment when men will be crying out to God. Brother, there are casual people in the meeting tonight. Now, we're not interested in the emotional impact of our preaching, but there are casual people. Don't get upset. Don't let anybody know if the preaching's getting to me. I was there, I understand. I want you to know tonight that you may be but seconds away from casting away all restraint and crying out to God for mercy, but it will be too late. The Lord Jesus comes. No hope. If you step out of the meeting, and may God preserve us all, but if you step out of the meeting, you may step into eternity before you reach home. It's a famous story of Moody preaching from Matthew's Gospel, working his way through. He had hoped to get through to the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? But like a lot of preachers, he was running out of time. So he just jumped from where he was, and he invited his listeners to consider what he had said, and to go home that week and answer the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, in Moody's meetings, he didn't do what we do, the congregation sings. He had a solo singer, Iris Eke. Part of the story that's not often told is this. Moody listened while Sankey selected his hymn, and the words, some of the words that he sang were these. Today the Savior calls for refuge fly. The storm of judgment comes and death is nigh. And Moody said, as he reflected on that night, he listened to Sankey singing, and he thought to himself that Sankey is singing with some kind of urgency. Today, the Savior calls for refuge fly. The storm of judgment comes, and death is nigh. And they could hardly hear him singing by the time he came toward the end of his singing, the clanging of the fire carts as they were going through Chicago nearly drowned him out. And from that large congregation that night, hundreds of people died before next Sunday. And Moody said, it was my greatest mistake. I told the people to think it over next week, this week, and come back next Lord's Day with the answer. Today, the Savior calls, for refuge fly. The storm of judgment falls, and death is nigh. Soul, will you understand tonight, God is calling. What a tragic moment when you hear the last call and you will go out to wail from the depths of endless torment, crying to God for some answer, no hope, lost forever, all the promise of heaven and its bright portals lost forever, and nothing in the prospect but the doom of eternal night.